Welcome to Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp with us once again. Good afternoon, Judy.
Good afternoon, Greg.
You've got a big list again for me.
Well, it's a little list, really.
Okay, well, it's a little list, but
yeah, we might get to work through it. It happens every time.
It is. We usually get to one or two.
And then
we've got the callers flowing through.
Well, we won't discourage them.
No, of course not.
Come, ring quick. That's the way to go before we get in the list.
Exactly. Get in early. If you do have any questions for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call. And we've got Leslie from Salamander Bay. And Leslie got some little hills of dirt in the lawn. Doesn't sound good, Leslie?
Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Judy. Thank you for talking to me. Mine's a pretty boring subject, but it's driving me nuts.
Well, it's not really, because we've probably got a lot of listeners out there with the same problems.
And look, it looks like Fort Knox. They're everywhere.
I know, and you know what causes it, don't you?
Well, it used to be ants, but it's not ants now.
No, it's the rain. It's the rain causing it, and they are little earthworms coming to breathe on the surface. And they come up and they make that little mound of dirt as they rise to the surface. And the secret is, people say, can we poison them? No, you're not going to poison earthworms.
I don't want to do that.
No. So you know what you do, and I'm sure you've got plenty at home. Get some Omo, any of those brands, and mix it up and make it all frothy and go and pour it down the holes. And they just run back to the garden, and the soap mixture doesn't hurt them.
Oh, that's ever so good. I didn't want to poison them.
No, but so many people panic when they see those little mounds. But I don't think I've had calls about this in a long time. But, you know, we're getting a lot of rain, aren't we, so naturally.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it kind of looks funny. It looks like sort of the old days of cowboys and Indians, you know, where they build a fort.
Yeah, dear little things. But anyway, they'll go back into your garden if you do that.
Soapy water, wonderful.
Yeah, but
Judy,
also...
Sorry,
I think you might be going to ask me another question, am I right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fire away. That's what I'm here for.
This is a frustrating one. I absolutely love impatience. And... I've got three of them sitting outside in where I sit of a morning in a covered garden area, and they're all dying. They've gone yellow and the leaves are folding up, and the soil is damp. So I'm thinking, am I overwatering them? What am I doing wrong, Judy? Do they just cark it this time of year?
Well, look, I kind of think we've already had winter, Leslie. When you think about it, we haven't had much fun in the last 3 months, have we?
No.
Or the last month at least. And the impatience would be feeling the cold, you know, pre-winter. We're now in winter now, but, you know, it hasn't been very pleasant because of the rain. And they will be absorbing a lot of moisture just from the atmosphere, even if you're not watering them.
Okay.
Yeah,
so if I've got a little sunny spot, could I move them?
Yes, that would help. But, of course, if we're getting rain, you're going to put them out in more rain, aren't you? So, yeah, look, I know at this time of year impatiens can be difficult little devils. But maybe if you try and take... No, it's too early even to take cuttings, I'm sorry. I think you just ease back on your watering. And just allow them to absorb from the atmosphere at the moment.
Okay. Should I trim the dead ones back? Because the branches are fairly long. They're in...
Yeah. The only thing is you'll make them more susceptible to the cold.
Oh, okay.
Okie dokie. So we've easily solved your two problems today, Leslie.
Thank you so much. You're wonderful. I look forward to this little show every week. Thank you, guys.
Oh, thank you. Well, I've got a good workmate here in Greg.
Yes, I know. Isn't he wonderful?
Well, he has all the answers now sometimes.
Yes, I know. He'll be a wealth of knowledge.
Thanks, Leslie. Ring us and let us know how you go with those little hills in the dirt, in the lawn.
Oh, that sounds so easy. I'm pleased I don't have to kill the little wormy.
No, definitely not.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye.
And we've got Helen from Wallsend, and she's got a question about roses.
Hello, Helen, what can we help you with your roses?
Yeah, hi, Judy. I heard you last week talking about roses and you were very busy, so I thought I'd try again. Look, I have an existing rose in a large pot. I've had it for quite a few years. It's called Mother's Love. You may be aware of it. And I thought it was dead, half dead. So a few months ago, I started sort of pulling it apart. And lo and behold, it's taken off. So I've got sort of half a rose growing, but it's thriving.
Well, that's incredible, isn't it?
Well, it is, because I don't particularly want to lose it, because it's a beautiful rose, has a lovely perfume. It's sort of a white, creamy colour. And, I'm thinking, well, because you usually prune roses back about July, I thought, well, I don't particularly want to prune it back because it's sort of only half a rose, but it's hanging over about a metre. It's really growing well.
Well, Helen, you know what? You know what, dear? I suggest it's giving you mother's love if it's surviving.
I hope so.
It is a beautiful, an absolute beautiful rose.
It is.
Mm, and is it in a pot or in the ground?
It's in a big pot, Judy.
Right, I think you did say that. Yeah, you did say that,
basically, because I haven't got the room. But someone gave it to me a long time ago, and it's flowered over the years, but I don't know. I wasn't well last year, and therefore it got neglected. And I don't want to lose it, but it looks good. But it's only sort of hanging on one side, and the rest is gone.
Helen, do you suspect it might need to go into a bigger pot?
Well, it's fairly big, Jude.
Right.
That's what. I mean, I had the Newcastle rose, which I bought off you a few years back, but I lost it, and it was in a big pot too. But this one's, I've had it longer, and it's always been better. And I thought, I don't particularly want to lose it. And then I thought, well, should I just leave it as is and maybe give it something to maybe improve it all?
Helen, do you use Sudden Impact?
Yes.
Okay. How long since you've given it Sudden Impact?
It's probably been a while, Judy. As I said, I've neglected it.
Yeah. Won't hurt you to give it a small dose of Sudden Impact.
Yep.
At the moment. And the other thing I'm finding with the roses, because of the amount of rain we're getting, the soil will need sweetening. So after you do the Sudden Impact, wait maybe a week and then a light dose of Dolomite.
Dolomite.
Yep.
Okay.
And then let's wait for that prune. And certainly, yes, I think you need to wait until July.
Yeah. But as I said, it looks good. Just look, got half a rose hanging over beautifully.
Well,
but I'm so pleased. I thought I'd lost it.
No, well, I'm surprised because my standard roses are still all flowering and I would have thought they would have, you know, tossed in the towel because of the weather. But no, I think if you do those two things, the Sudden Impact and a little bit of Dolomite, and just, you know, encourage it to keep going.
Yeah, but the Newcastle rose, I lost that a few years ago and I really wanted that. But anyway, it died on me. But anyway, I can always try another one. But I just have to put things in pots, Judy, because of the room I've got. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm happy with this little rose and hopefully it'll be okay.
Well, City of Newcastle is a very strong rose, so therefore it mightn't like being in a pot, Helen.
Well, you know what, Judy? I bought one for a cousin of mine who lives in down near Penrith, and she put it in the ground and it's thriving.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm after one. I'm after one this year, I need to replace one, so I'm going to go for City of Newcastle. It is a lovely red rose, isn't it?
Well, my late husband absolutely loved this city and I bought it for his memory and so I was a little bit disappointed. But I might try again and get one and see how it goes.
Yeah, see how it goes. Don't buy a bush rose.
No.
Try a standard if you can get one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Judy.
Yeah, look, lovely to hear from you again, Helen, and keep us updated and let us know how Mother's Love survives the winter.
We've got Lynn now from Chisholm and she wants to know if this is a good time to start planting citrus trees.
Oh, hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm well, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well. You know, disliking the weather, but, you know, we're all a bit that way at the moment. Yeah. Now, Chisholm, you get a bit more colder than we do here at the university, don't you? Yes. Look, I'd be a bit inclined to say wait until we're getting towards August.
Okay.
Do you get any frost, Lynn?
Yes, we do.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, you've got to wait till the frost goes, my dear.
Yep, okay.
Okay, sorry to disappoint you, but...
That's all right. I thought I'd get ahead of, you know, to the race and get something done now, but that's okay.
Maybe you could
tell me...
Yes, certainly.
What's the best way to prepare the soil then?
Uh-huh. I'm glad you asked me that. Now, what you'll do is a little bit of, for citrus, a small amount of poultry manure and some good compost. And turn that over, you know, a couple of weeks before you're going to plant.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, and they like the sun, of course.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got plenty of that.
Oh, that's good. And, Lynn, it won't hurt you to purchase one and just leave it in the container it comes in.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea. Yeah. And then I can take it out around August or, yeah.
Yeah, and put it in a spot even where you're considering planting. And, you know, that'll just acclimatise it to when you're ready to plant.
Okay. Excellent advice.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome,
Thank
Lynn.
You.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Could you just leave it indoors or something until August or...?
No, Greg, sorry, no. Did I shudder then?
Yeah, I think I surprised you with the question.
Well, you know, no, you wouldn't leave it inside. I mean, okay, in England and countries like that, they do, but they have those heated summer houses and different things. Well, unless you had a heated summer house here, you could.
Or a greenhouse or something.
Or a greenhouse, yeah. Sorry, I just got a shock that you asked me such a relevant question then, Greg.
Sorry, I'd like to keep you on your toes every now and then.
Well, that's good. Don't let me go to sleep over here.
Now, Judy, you want to talk about spring bulbs today? We need to get them ready or?
Well, I know it's a bit of an unusual topic because they should be in the ground starting to shoot. But, Greg, there are many, many people who put their bulbs, particularly, a mental block then, particularly the ones that are hard to grow.
Okay.
Tulips. And hyacinths, they put them in the fridge to trick them so they think they've been under the snow. Don't laugh. That is true. It is absolutely true.
Couldn't you just pack them in the freezer then, or is that too cold?
No, that's too cold. I think crisp is better.
Yep.
But the problem is I find that people forget they're in there. Now, of course...
That could be back at the bottom of the fridge and next to some jam that has been there for a while as well.
But, you know, really, they need to be planted by the end of May, so we're on the borderline, aren't we?
Yep.
So today we're... Really need to emphasise it. Get them out of the fridge and put them in the ground or in the pots.
This week.
Straight away. Let's go and do it today.
Well, it's nearly lunchtime now. People are probably having a bit of lunch now. Maybe this afternoon then.
This afternoon. We'll let them have lunch, eh?
Right, yeah. Are you also looking at, we're in the months of winter now, winter grasses, and I think you want to look at today.
Oh, winter grass. You know what it's like, don't you? It's a little tufts.
I just assume you don't have to mow it, winter grass, but okay. Tufts.
But it does overtake your lawn.
Yep.
And there are a lot of real gardeners that get...
yep.
not commenting on you, Greg.
Yeah, no, of course not.
But they get very anxious about the little tufts that come up. But the problem is when the little tufts die down in spring or summer... You have a gap in your lawn.
Oh, so you have like a big brown spot.
Yeah, so that's why everyone wants to treat them. So I'm just reminding really keen lawn growers to go out with the Endothol and spray the winter grass.
Okay. Can you rip it out by hand or is that just too hard?
Well, you could, but what happens, Greg, they go to seed, very tiny seeds. So if you do that, often the seeds will go in the soil.
Yep. All right.
So we won't encourage that one. Endothol's the answer.
Righty-o, do not rip out by hand. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM, 49216216. We've got Jim from Singleton, and he's got a question about the pomegranate tree.
Hello, Jim. Pomegranates.
Oh, Judy, I've had a pomegranate tree planted for a few years now, and every year the buds come along and strip it bare. It's so annoying. They're at the point now where they're almost blooming, they're getting bigger. And is there any insecticide I can use, or do I have to cover them up with a shade cloth or something?
Jim, what kind of bugs? Did you say bugs?
No, but buds. No, birds.
Oh, birds. Oh, yes. Birds. It's your lovely accent, Jim. What part of England are you from?
I'm sorry, Judy, I'm not from England. I'm Scotland. Up north of England.
Oh, Greg picked it. He worked out you were from Scotland. That's okay. You know, you probably have the same kind of plants growing there as you do in Newcastle-on-Tyne, I would imagine.
Yeah. Very much an English plant type of thing, Judy.
Yeah. Look, and the birds are attacking them.
Well, that's the only thing I can... Because it's up high, that'd be the only thing I could find out. I don't know if anything else could attack them, but it must be birds, Judy, because the tree's about a metre and a half high, and so... I don't know if a snail could crawl up or a bug. I don't know, Judy. Honestly, don't know.
Now, what about the little possums, Jim?
That could be possible, Judy. Every time of year, that's the winter time. I get a lot of mice and even rats in my yard, so I've got to put down bait to away from my dog so that my dog doesn't chew them. They're still taking the bait. So do you think it could be mice or rats that would get to it?
Well, it could be, definitely. And, you know, well, I mean, they're all hungry at the moment because of the wet weather all the time.
Yeah, I know. But so have you got any solution? Is there a pesticide or anything I can put on it to stop them doing?
No, not if you've got a dog around there, Jim. What about, could you net it? Could you put a net over it?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of going to my turn at Bunnings and getting some shade cloth and covering it over with shade cloth.
Yeah, but you should be able to buy proper bird nets.
Oh, well, right. Yeah. Well, that's good then.
But, you know, I mean, if you're going out buying, why not get a bit of each and then experiment with it? But that's a shame. Pomegranates are so expensive to buy.
I know. There is a lady, Christine, up at Bunnings in Singleton, and she is really helpful, really switched on. And I'll go up and see if she's on today, and maybe she can supply me with some netting. And that won't stop the shade of the sun on it, will it?
Well, to a certain extent it will, Jim, but don't forget our sun's going muchly now anyway.
Yeah.
You know, particularly up at Singleton, you're probably going to head for frosts and things.
Yeah, we do get a lot of frosts, and in the time, Judy, it gets pretty cold, actually, yeah?
Yeah.
It's almost like we're
anyway,
in Scotland.
Well, at the moment, I mean, I've been saying we've already had winter. You know, we're just really starting winter. So, Jim, good luck with that, and perhaps give us a ring in a couple of weeks and let us know if you had, if you trapped any of the culprits.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't pick my accent was Australian, because everybody tells me I'm more Australian than Scottish.
Well, look, my mum and dad, where do you think they came from?
Oh, I'd say Scotland.
No, Newcastle-on-Tyne.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and everyone always thought they were Scottish.
I get picked for that as well. I was out walking my dog the other day past a property, and I was wearing a Guinness cap, and he said, "Excuse me, are you Irish?" I said, "No, I'm Scottish." Oh, I said, "I just thought with the Guinness cap, you must be Irish."
My mother never lost her accent, Jim. She didn't want to.
Nah, I don't want to either.
You're just hanging on to it as well. Well, good luck with that pomegranate, and I really hope you get some crop this year.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your help, Judy. Much appreciated.
You're welcome, Jim. Bye.
All the best. Bye.
I was just thinking a while back, someone rang in, they had possum problem, but they got sensor lights.
They did too.
Maybe if it's any sort of like rodent, maybe that might keep them away.
Yeah. Jim, I hope you're still listening. Greg's backing me up here. He's getting so clever and professional. Greg, Now, that worked, didn't it, for that listener?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But they had like a big sensor light on it, I think, or...
Yeah,
or
but I'm wondering, that tree sounded like it might be fairly tall.
Mm.
And if it's singleton and it's out in the open, how would they get the... You know, I think that other person might have had a smaller garden from memory.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, but good idea, so I hope he's still listening.
Yeah, Judy, we've looked at winter grass. We've also got pansies you want to look at as well.
Yes, the annuals out there, particularly pansies and violas, they'll be getting really affected by the rain, Greg. And they're beautiful annuals and lovely and colourful for this time of year. So what we need to do is apply some dolomite to them, the same as the roses. And any other plants you're having difficulty with the amount of rain, it will sweeten the soil up again. So that's definitely a must to do that. Yeah. And
also, look at deciduous trees.
Oh, deciduous trees, yeah. No, well, it's time to plant deciduous trees. So we need to dig in some compost and manure and leave several weeks before planting.
Why do we have to leave several weeks before planting?
You might burn it with the manure.
Oh, okay, yep. All right. Double checking, making sure.
Oh, you're just checking up on me, aren't you? I might ask for a replacement if you're not careful.
What, for me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right.
Oh, for me too. No. We've been doing it for too long now, haven't we? Yeah, so, you know, we've still got a lot of problems going on. What do you think about tropical trees if you prune them at this time of year?
I wouldn't imagine it's a good idea.
No, of course it's not. They're going to get their bottoms burnt if you do that. So please don't prune your tropical species at this time of year. The cold and the frost will burn them.
All right, so when you say tropical, what are we looking at?
Okay, so we're looking at mangoes, we're looking at pawpaws, anything from the tropics.
Right.
You know, sometimes hibiscus, but they're pretty hardy, but you can leave them for a little bit longer before you prune them. Anything that you think's a tropical plant, don't go and chop their heads off, definitely.
Right. So no pruning it at all, just letting it?
Oh, no, let it go till we start to get towards the end of August.
Okay.
Even later if we're still getting cold weather.
And then give it a little bit of a...
Yeah, and you can prune them. You know, a lot of people hard prune plants, so if you did that now, well, you'd have just a black stump going in the ground.
All right.
Yep, definitely a no-no.
All right, and you also want to look at roses as well. We spoke about roses a bit earlier.
Yeah, we were talking about roses, but what I really need people to understand, or gardeners to understand at the moment, the rain has a great effect on the garden. It either gives us too much or too little, unfortunately. We rely on it strongly. But when the rain stops, you've got to water newly planted roses. Now, at the moment, anyone that's planted new roses can rely on the rain. But once it stops...
You've got to keep going with the water and...
Yeah, you've got to keep watering each day with newly planted roses, not existing ones.
Would you give it all... Seeing they've had how much rain we had in the weekend, would you still give it a couple of days before you started?
Well, I would, definitely.
Yep.
And no doubt you would too. But I must ask you today, how are the chilli plants going? Did you get rid of the cockchafers?
I just threw the plant
in. The curl drops?
Yeah. I haven't actually carbrailed it yet.
Oh.
Apologies.
Well,
I've got it on my plate.
You've got it on your plate. Well, don't blame me if you don't get any chilies this year.
But hopefully they're all right. I've taken all the fruit off of them all, so hopefully they'll be right for winter.
Right, okay.
And then, yeah, hopefully good for spring and summer.
Well,
and back into it.
We'll wait and see what the winter does.
Well, that's what I'm worried about.
It's going to be pretty nasty, I think, Greg.
Do I have to move them?
Yeah, probably.
I keep getting told to move them inside, but I never do.
No, but haven't you got a covered veranda or something, a porch?
Yeah, I could probably put a couple under that.
Yeah.
I've got seed, like little ones.
Yeah.
Under it now, but yeah.
Yeah. No.
The others are outside.
No, well, if you look like you, do you get frost where you are?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll bring them inside.
Besides Saturday, I'm not usually up early enough.
Bring them inside.
All right. And houseplants is the very last thing. You kind of mentioned this last week, I think, houseplants.
Oh, yeah. I think last week I mentioned about spraying your maiden hairs every second day.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't have to water as regular. But, you know, last time we were talking about the heating. Now, what I want to talk about today was if you have certain plants that aren't doing well because your light changes inside mm-hmm. in the winter, and you might need to replace them with plants that like lower light. So will we give some examples out, I think?
For sure, yeah, because I have no idea what sort of plants would like lower light.
Madonna lilies.
Yep.
Aspidistras.
That's a good name.
Oh, that's a lovely old plant. An old-fashioned plant, but keeps surviving. Parlor palms and kentia. I have both of those in my house because they require very little attention.
Perfect. That's a
perfect
indoor plant.
Parlor palms and kentia. Yeah, definitely. And so also you could recycle your indoor plants closer to the windows in winter so they're getting more light. You know, your whole house changes, doesn't it, at this time of year?
So would you do that for the morning sun if you could find, if you got morning sun, would that be more preferable than?
Oh, no, they can handle afternoon now.
Well, Judy Sharp, we have just about run out of time.
Oh, we have too, Greg.
We got through the list.
We did. That's got through the list today. That's wonderful.
It's one of our great achievements. I'll catch you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, evidently.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.